Sunday night about Hezekiah opening the doors once his dad Ahaz had shut the doors of the temple, and how that it brought revival. Now, I was thinking about revival and the importance of it, and we stressed several things the other night. I want to look at one other aspect of it tonight, if you would. And Psalms chapter number 85, I want to begin reading. If there was anyone that understood the importance of this subject, it would be David. And I'll tell you a little bit about it here in a moment. But let's begin reading in verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Tonight, I want us to think just a moment about how that the joy that comes from revival. You know, the word rejoice means that it is an outward expression of the inward joy that you have. When that joy builds up and spills over, it's like pouring something in a cup and a saucer catching it. When your joy builds up to a certain level, and you just can't help but rejoice. And so God wants us as his people to rejoice. I was thinking as we were singing those songs, how many of you remember the time and the place when you got saved? Can you take someone back? I took someone a while back, and I pointed, I said, right there. That was the exact place where I got saved. And so, you know, it's good to be able to go back to the time and place. I was talking to someone this week, and I was trying to get them to understand a symbol that I wanted to, artwork that I wanted drawn up. And the person I was talking to didn't understand the cross at all. And I thought how sad it is not to understand the cross. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is of them which perish foolishness, but to those which believe it is power of God. Amen. And so, or to those of us who believe it is power of God. I am glad that I am one of those I have believed. Amen. So if there's anybody in the world that ought to be able to have joy and rejoice, it ought to be God's people. Now, when we lack revival in our life, if you look back in this Psalms in verse number 1, verse number 1 talks about favor, blessings that God gives us. And what happens is when we get cold and indifferent toward God, we begin to lose those blessings, those special blessings and favors that God gives us. Not only that, but we also find ourselves being taken captive to things in the world. You would have to agree that there is a great moral decline in the last several years of this, not only our country, but the whole world. I mean, I noticed this week, turn to 2-3 channels, and every one of them took time to let their audience know this was Pride Month. And they were recognizing Gay Pride Month. They've given them a whole month now to rejoice and celebrate those things. When's the last time you've seen them? And you know what they want to do with Christ? Anything that got his name on it, they won't take it off the calendars. They won't hide it from the kids. And they won't keep it from ever being mentioned publicly in any form or fashion. But anyway, what happens is we've seen it. We've seen social decline. We've seen humanism come in schools. And they've taken over our schools. They're teaching them not only that man doesn't have to be accountable to God, if there is such a thing as God, but they're also now teaching them to hate our own country, which is crazy. And they're turning to socialism, the things that we used to fight in this country. Then we've also seen a spiritual decline. And we've looked around and we've seen spiritual decline all around us. Now, let me say something. It's very easy in this environment to get cold and indifferent if you're not very careful. And so what happens is we find ourselves losing blessings in verse 1. We find ourselves being taken captive as well. If you look on in verse number 2, it says, I've forgiven the iniquity of our people, covered all their sins. We find ourselves being laden with their own sins because they've not been forgiven. We also find that God's wrath, his anger, is turned upon us. And everywhere you turn, we see things happening, and people are ignorant to the fact that God's not going to let America keep doing the things America is doing. And we're going to see, and we are seeing, and we're going to suffer. But not only that, not only this generation, to other generations is going to follow in verse number 5. But now I want you to notice this rejoice. And I want to talk a little bit about it, because when we lose our joy, it prevents us from rejoicing. And, you know, people say, well, we've had revival, we broke out in shouting. Shouting is not revival. Shouting is a result of getting your joy back. And same way with doing other things for the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, keep your finger there in Psalms a moment, and go with me to Philippians. Or first of all, let's go to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says, therefore, now if you look what he's talking about, anytime you see the word therefore, I've always told you, look and see what it's there for. It connects you with chapter 4. And what it does is it lets us know that we have had Jesus' righteousness imputed to us, divinely transferred. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and what? Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So there's some reasons why we especially ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice because, number one, of our position. We are justified before God. Being justified means that he counts us as righteous. Not because we are righteous, because we have had Jesus' righteousness imputed to us, divinely transferred. Not only that, but also the access we have. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. In other words, we have access to go to God anywhere, anytime, any place that we want to go to God. I mean, just think what a privilege it is to be one of God's, that we can go to him in any situation that we have and take it before the throne of grace. Not only that, but he says, not only so, but we glory also in tribulation, so knowing that tribulation worth patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, we've talked about that a little bit, and we've talked about how that God uses those things, those tribulations, to work patience, and a patience to work experience, and experience to work hope. Once we've gone through experience and we look back and we see how God took us through, it builds hope. But the Bible says here that we can rejoice because of who we are. Look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4 real quickly. Philippians 4. In Philippians chapter 4, notice in verse number 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now again, remember, rejoice is being full of joy. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, the mannerisms of your life, how you conduct yourself to other people. We not only ought to rejoice all the time, but we ought to have a love. We ought to have a mannerism where people knows that we're a child of God by the way we communicate with one another, by the way we act with each other, and by the way we treat each other. Amen? Not only that, look at verse 6. Being careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Also, we not only, in verse 4, build that wall that we have to build, and that's to strengthen us, of praise, we also have to build it a prayer. And there, if you look in verse 6, the Bible says that be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And by the way, thanksgiving plays a big role in it. Learning to be thankful to God for what you got. And so therefore, we need to learn to also use prayer as well as praise and as well as patience as well with other people. The Bible tells us we're not to judge anyone before their time. And in verse number 8, then he talks about the purity that we are to have. Or verse 7, the promises, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have his promises that we build our hearts upon. And then last, in verse number 8, the purity. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so what we have to do is we have to learn, Paul said that we ought to rejoice and always rejoice. In other words, we need to have our joy full. Look if you would in John chapter number 15 real quickly. John chapter number 15. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. And he talks to in verse chapter 15 about where he is a vine and we are the branches. But notice what he says in verse number 11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might what? Now, you got to remember, think about this. How many of you have ever been in a place in your life when you got joy that just bubbled up inside and you just couldn't keep it inside? It just had to come out. Maybe sometime you had to stand up and say, I just want to give a testimony to the Lord. He's been so good to me. And maybe sometime it's during a message, or maybe it's sometime during a song or something, and God just speaks to your heart, and it just stirs your heart, and it just makes you bubble over with joy. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to, he's told us these things, and his word has been given to us that his joy might be in us, and that our joy may be full. Look if you would in chapter 17, as he was praying his prayer to his Father. Notice what he said in verse number 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And so what happens is, revival is when we lose our joy. You ever lose your joy? Well, as I said earlier, David knew what it was like to lose his joy. Look, if you would, in Psalms. Go back to the book of Psalms a moment. And look, if you would, in verse chapter 51. You know, Jesus talked about the church of Ephesus in Revelation of losing their first love. And sometimes we. And so what revival is a rekindling. Those of you would, in chapter 51. In verse number 12, David said, restore unto me the what? Joy of my salvation, of thy salvation. Now, think about this. We ought to be able to have joy every time that we think about when God saved us. We ought to have a happiness that pops up. You know, I was thinking today when I was talking to that person that was so unlearned about the cross. And I was trying to tell him, I said, you need to understand, the preaching of the cross, the Bible directs us as a church to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus, of his dying upon the cross, to the whole world. Amen. And she kind of looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. And I thought, how sad not to understand anything about the cross. Back when I worked in EMS, I was riding with a guy, and he'd been going to another denomination of church all of his life, off and on. And as I was driving, I asked him, I said, are you saved? He said, now, this is a guy that was 30-some years old. He said, what are you talking about? I said, have you ever been saved? He said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I said, do you know about Christ? Why he came into the world? He said, well, I've heard about the cross and some things, but he said, I don't understand anything. And I thought, how sad to be raised up in a church for 30-some years and not even understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how thankful we ought to be every time that we think about what God has done for us. But what happens is this. This old world with everything that we have to face, all the trials and tribulations, family problems, issues, social problems, all the things that we have, we let those things take our joy away. And when it takes our joy away, then it robs us. And so David, of course, you know this psalm is directing toward David when he had sinned with Bathsheba. And he'd been away from God for about a year. And he was coming home with a repentant heart, confessing, asking God to restore the joy of God's salvation to him. Look back, if you would, in verse 12. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now, notice something. Do you notice that something that quits in your life when you lose your joy? You quit seeing people one to the Lord. Think about that. You quit testifying. Have you ever had God moving upon you? Amen. And everywhere you went, you just couldn't help but tell somebody about what God was doing? Amen. When you lose the joy, you no longer talk about things like that. So here, David says, look back. He says in verse 14, he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud all thy righteousness. Let me tell you something else you lose when you lose your joy. You lose your song. Sometimes I get up and sing a song here. I tell people God didn't call me to sing. He called me to preach. I don't have much of a voice. I love to sing. One day, me and Roger's going to get a duet together, and we're going to sing. But the thing about it is sometimes I just want to sing. And I don't care. Somebody wants to laugh, mock. I'm not singing for that reason. But sometimes whenever I get so bubbled over in joy, I just want to sing to the Lord. But you know what happens when you lose your joy? You lose your song. I can always tell in the church when it's time for revival, people begin to lose their songs. They don't jump up and sing. They don't let God lead them like they did. And I realize that. Look, if you would, in verse 15. O Lord, open thy my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Let me ask you this. I also tell when we're lacking in revival, people quit standing up and say, preacher, I just want to give a testimony. Sometimes, even it's right in the middle of service, I just got to say something. Whenever we lose our joy, we lose our voice. We lose our praise. Now look just a few moments and notice this and think about this. Revival. Look back if you would in Psalms chapter number 85. Notice David said in verse 6, "Wilt thou?" He knew where to go to find revival. "Wilt thou not revive us?" What? You know why he says again? Because it's so easy to lose. And we lose it again and again and again. And you know what? You can sit right in a church pew and lose your joy. You can sit there and sing every song that's sung. You can put offerings in and tithe and you do all the things that you do. And you can shake hands with people, smile at people, and you still lose your joy. And by the way, soul winning, service, shouting, whatever it may be, singing, that's not revival. That's the results of revival. Revival is when you get right with God and you come back to God and he restores unto you the joy of your salvation and you bubble over. Because sometimes when you read something in the Word of God, today I was reading that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, where he says, but to those of us that believe, and I thought, us, that's me. I am so glad that I am one that believes in the cross. I am so glad that I'm saved. Amen. Now, so it's something that we're going to have again and again and again. Let me show you a couple of verses. I'm going to close here in a moment, but I want you to see this. Rejoicing is so important. And as I said, rejoicing is being full of joy. And when you lose your joy, the joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. When you got saved, God gave you a joy that the world cannot share. Amen. They may say, well, I have a lot of joy, but they don't have the real joy. There's only one type of real joy, and it comes from the Holy Ghost. There's only one type of, you know, I thought I knew how to love until I got saved. Then I found real love. Amen. I thought I knew what peace was until I got saved. Then I found real peace. And so therefore, the fruits of the Spirit cannot be imitated. They can be imitated, but they cannot be duplicated by the world. No one can have what we have until they get saved. It comes with a new birth of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, notice if you would in Psalms chapter 107. In Psalms 107, look if you would in verse number 21. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his what? Goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and declare his works with what?" How many of you would say, God's been good to me? How many would you say, God's been a whole lot better to me than what I deserve? We lose that. That's why we need revival. To stir up the joy. To be able to say, Lord, I just want to thank you. You know, whenever I went down to Panama and spent all that time with those Indians, and I come back, I had a different respect. I had a different joy. And I had a different outlook upon things, how God been so good to us here in America. That's why it just runs all over me when I see somebody spit or burn that flag right there. I can't stand myself when that begins to happen. Even in service, remember what happened when the apostles in Acts chapter 5, they were called before the council and told not to preach in Jesus' name, and they were beaten and they went away rejoicing because they were found worthy to suffer for his name. You know, the amazing thing is when revival comes, it stirs you up and rejoicing. It will even let you rejoice in times when you're going through difficult issues. You can still find things to rejoice. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's our spiritual strength. Did you know, look, if you would, in Acts chapter number 16 real quickly. Acts 16. Take a few more verses, and I'll pull it all together here in a minute. In Acts chapter 16, notice if you would in verse number 25. Paul and Silas in jail at midnight. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners, what? You know, they could have been complaining. They could have been griping. But you know what? They were full of joy. At midnight, in prison, having been beaten, hadn't their liberty robbed as far as their liberty to move around, and you know what they were doing? Rejoicing. You know why? Because you can have full joy in any circumstance that you have. That's why we need revival. To find our joy of God's salvation to us and rejoice in that. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter, or while you're there in New Testament, look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 1 real quickly. Sitting here preaching, hearing that siren in the background. I worked 25 years in merged services. Every time I hear a siren, I stop and say, Lord, I'm glad it's not coming after me. I'm glad I'm not a part of that. And I tell you what, you see the reality of it when you spend 25 years in one of those things. You understand. Look, if you would, in 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all your furtherance and joy of faith. Faith helps bring our joy. Believing what God has said. Remember when Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full? The word of God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so, therefore, as faith comes, it increases our joy. And faith comes from the word of God as we take the word of God in our heart. And that's why I said you can always tell in revival because you begin to lose. You quit praying like you once prayed. You quit reading the word of God like you once were. I tell you what, I find this. People got these things. They're on there all day long. And I often wonder myself when I see them on there all day, how much they're in the Bible. How much they even take time to read. No wonder our joy has left us. No wonder our testimony, our songs. Look, if you would, in Psalm 16. I'll close here. Psalm chapter 16. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Think about this. I can also tell, like I said, when testimonies quit, when songs quit, when just rejoicing quits, when I quit seeing people come to the altar, I know it's time again for revival. And somebody said, preacher, looks like if we get it, we just keep it. You would think that, but that's not the way it happens. Everything in this old world the devil has got and created has been to rob us of our joy. And so we have to continually come back to the Lord. And as David said, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord, that we might rejoice in thee, that we might have the joy of thy salvation running over where it spills out in our singing, our speech, our attitude, our service, our soul winning, in everything that we do, how it needs to move us. That's why it's so important to say, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Because we allow it, we find ourselves, how many of you have ever sat and all of a sudden you just realize you lost the joy? It happens. And you know what? There's only one person that can restore that joy. And you know everything else that people wants to measure revivals with? It all comes with you restoring that joy, that fellowship, that relationship with God, and finding your joy from his salvation again. And so tonight, I want us to pray that God help us that we may rejoice, as Paul said, and rejoice always. But when we find ourselves not able to rejoice, let us come back and restore that joy. That we have on the inside will work itself out. Because people can tell. You know what won people to Paul and Silas that night? The fact of their rejoicing. And those people were willing to listen to them because they saw something in them that they didn't have. And boy, if there's anything missing from the testimony of the church today, it's rejoicing. When they see real, legitimate rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Give a song, Brother Porter.